Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on? You're listening to the Film Drunk Frotcast, coming at you not live from our frot quarters to your frot quarters. I'm Vince Mancini, and I am joined, as always, you know him, you love him, he's the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
You've got a fat cock. Put that cock directly in my mouth. You gotta make a decision to take that cock and put it in my mouth. I love it. All right, okay. I didn't read any.
I liked it.
Sorry. I just watched Tracy Chapman at the Grammys singing Fast Car. And it was like, I was like literally crying watching it because I love that song so much and I love Tracy Chapman so much. But at the same time, I just kept going, you got a fat cock, and I was like, I contain multitudes is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I have more thoughts about Fast Car, but first I would like to introduce our guest today. How do you want me to introduce you, Allison? I never asked.
You've got a fat cock.
You can introduce me as a fat cock for sure. Mm-hmm.
We have returning guest and fat cock, Allison Stevenson.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Allison?
Oh, fine.
I feel like that. I was annoyed when I mean, it was cool. Not that I watched it live, because what am I going to do? Watch the Grammys? I don't think so. But
who does that?
Yeah, who does that? But it was nice to see Tracy Chapman get out there on stage. But it also bugged me, like, why is this other guy here? What is he contributing to the song at this point?
You don't know the lore.
Did a cover of the song.
Yes.
I know, but, like, it's not a... I mean, it's just a regular cover. Like, her version is better. Like, he doesn't really, like, improve upon it.
Her
in any
version
way, right?
Is better.
Like, right? Yeah, I mean, but he's a man, so that's already an improvement.
Yeah.
So the story behind it is that he did this cover in 2023, last year, and it like rocketed to number one in the country charts and won a country music award.
All these idiots are like, this is a good song that I've never heard before.
Right, yeah. No, they're definitely idiots because they never heard that song. I hate them because of that. You know, like, if you don't know the things I know, you're a fucking moron.
No, I just mean, look, it's a good song. It's when it comes on the country radio, you're probably like, well, this is good. I mean, it's not
right,
but the original's like better. I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree with you. He didn't do anything new with it other than it was a white man singing it. But I think because it's kind of like when TikTok blows up an artist and all of a sudden everyone's like, well, who are these Sublime guys?
Right.
And then
me and Matt are like, we've been here all along.
Yeah,
like,
we love Sublime. We got tattoos of that sun.
check the tie-dye on the wall. We've been here.
Yeah, 40 ounces to freedom. Change my life. But yeah, like, so I think it was just, it blew up the song for like another generation. And then people learned like, oh, it's not an original. It's done by Tracy Chapman. And then there's also a little bit of the, I'm not going to lie, I like the, you know, like music breaking, you know, racial boundaries thing. That was very cute. You know?
It's nice to have something that doesn't sound like a shitty truck commercial on country
100%.
Radio.
100%. Yeah. It didn't sound like a shitty truck commercial. It didn't sound like it was trying to sell me, you know, like a gun or
a
war.
Like a lifestyle brand. Yeah, like someone posted.
Just a fast car.
Yeah, just trying to sell me a fast car.
Not even a pickup truck or like, you know.
I would love it. would love it if this Ford all of a sudden is like, have you heard this fast car song? They start selling cars.
I mean, keep in mind, we're comparing it to a guy who wrote a song about Applebee's.
Is that the Applebee's guy?
Well, no, but it was a different guy. But I'm saying that is like the baseline for country radio is like someone writes an ode to a chain restaurant and the chain restaurant puts it in their commercial for the chain restaurant. Yeah. And then like it's so far.
That's just good strategy,
You're not even like writing about like your grandpappy anymore. You're literally writing about fucking Applebee's. And they're like, oh, this son of a real estate agent sings a nice tune about us. We should literally, that's what he was doing before he was a country singer. Anyway,
I love that. I love that for him. Listen, yeah. I love seeing old gray haired Tracy Chapman on stage. I liked seeing it in contrast to him because he had the, you know, he had the kind of the country auto tune that they do, you know, a little bit of pitch correction. Mm-hmm. He had the, you know, the monitors in his ears and stuff.
And he's just like a weird collection of things and is shaped weird like most
country dudes are today. He's like, I don't know. He's like one of those country guys who you're like, you know, he's a big dude. He likes shrimps. You know, he's he's someone who just, you know, he's... You know, he's got a lot of like wise sayings that don't make any sense. Like, you know, hey, you take that dog to hunt, that hunt will never stop. You know what I mean? but
do you know Jell-O? He's no Jell-O, is what I was saying.
He's no Jell-O. I don't know Jell-O. Who's Jell-O?
Jell-O Biafra?
Yeah,
country legend Jell-O Biafra.
I don't know any other guys named Jell-O. That's just the first one.
It's a holiday in the Applebee's. But yeah, like, meanwhile, she was, you know, she was au naturel, man. She
I got it wrong. His name is Jelly Roll, not Jell-O.
I don't know Jelly Roll either, unless it's Jelly Roll Morton.
Heard the name. Sounds familiar.
But yeah, I don't know. And that song just fucking rules.
It's a good song. No, like someone was posted a TikTok or something this week, and it was like a middle school teacher, and she was playing John Denver, like Country Roads, and she couldn't figure out why all the middle schoolers know the song. And I don't actually know the backstory to why all the middle schoolers know the song, but it kind of stuck out to me because it's like, oh yeah, here's like a dude singing about West Virginia, and it's like kind of, you know, it's a white dude singing a song about the country, but it's not a shitty like lifestyle branding exercise. It doesn't feel like it's trying to sell me something like every other fucking country song nowadays.
Yeah, 100%. It was okay, here's Jelly Roll. I'll play a little bit of I've seen this guy.
Oh, I sent you his Instagram.
No, I see it. I see it. But I bet his Instagram has him doing one of his songs. Let's find it. Oh, no. Mostly it's him podcasting. Hold on.
Is this a country man? Who is this guy?
Oh,
yeah. He's a country man.
All right. I need to. Okay. Here's a little bit. Hold on. Here we go.
I mean.
Hold on. That's not him. That's a girl. And I can't, I'll tell you, I can't fast forward because it's Instagram. Oh, no, shit.
What's up, y'all?
It's okay, it's not important.
It's your boy Jelly Roll checking in about two important things.
Hold on, what are the two important things?
I want to know. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. It's your boy Jelly Roll checking in about two important things. One of my favorite songs I've ever recorded in my life came out today on my buddy Cody Johnson's album, Leather. The song is called Whiskey Bent. Check it out. Jelly Roll, Cody Johnson, Whiskey Bent Crazy. Uh-huh. Second of all, Saturday, November the 4th. So tomorrow.
All right. He's just plugging stuff.
It's just promo. Yeah. He's huge. He's huge.
He's got a million. Damn. Hold on.
We can see why. He's got it.
Here we go. Damn, he'll burn me alive. Lord knows if mama tried. I mean, I like it. He's a vibe.
It's better than the Applebee's song, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's not, but also he looks like he likes Applebee's, and that's not a, I'm just saying, that's not like a, I'm not shaming him. I'm just
he's
saying.
He's a big man.
He's a big fucking guy, and fucking, you know, it's
fuck,
what?
Someone sent me the other Applebee guy song, and the lyrics of it were fucking mind-blowing. Yeah. Sorry, I gotta
I
find this
I forgot the
now.
Applebee song. I know what you're talking about, but I forgot what it sounded like what the chorus was.
I mean, here, listen.
I got it. Well, no, I can't hear. Matt, you play
yeah,
it while I
yeah, yeah,
this.
Put it in the chat. But yeah, fucking, I don't know. In general, I'm not a country music guy, but whenever I find a country music song that I, you know, when someone shows me one, I always kind of go like, oh yeah, this is not like that different from what I hear. It's like the pop and country have melded to the point where they're almost the same fucking thing now.
Kinda, yeah.
All right, well, maybe not all. This is very different. My girl is banging. She's so low maintenance. Don't need no champagne. But yeah, it is. Take her to Wendy's.
Can't keep her off me. She yeah. Wanna dip me like them fries in her frosting. All right, we got to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stop, please.
No.
You're torturing me.
So it's like, my girl's so chill. She doesn't want fancy things.
Yeah, she just wants to go to Wendy's.
His whole shit is he like just names off like strings together white people touchstones and like strings it together with black slang. Like the, mm-hmm. He has another song. I don't know if this is the same song, but the lyrics are small town, y'all town, double Dutch in the park, ice cream truck failing that emissions test hard. Got that glow up Grinch in the yard and it's March. Ain't coming down anytime soon. It's just gibberish. Fucking, I hate it so much. Sorry.
I mean, the thing is,
poverty porn. It's poverty porn.
Yeah. It's like, listen, if you're going to rap / do a country song about like living in a food desert, you have to at least look like you enjoy the food. Like Jelly Roll, I believe it. This guy, he does look like he owns several Sea-Doos.
yeah. This guy had jet skis before he even got into country
yeah,
music.
Yeah, like he looks like he flew first class to the Capitol on January 6th. You know what I mean?
One of you read the lyrics that I just sent you. Like it makes me lose my mind.
Okay, all right. I'll read some of it. It ain't nothing better than them Saturday night lights. Every night, baby, got me in my bag. Yah, yah. If you ever disrespect the fam, baby, you know that's a flag. Throw it up. Give me Jesus football. Come on. This is like, is this AI?
Yeah, right?
It is absolutely AI. Like, it's like that old Trump tweet where he holds up the Bible and is like, yeah, you idiots love this crap, right?
Yeah, lap it up, hogs.
Like,
slurp me.
Yeah, all of his lyrics are lap it up, hogs.
Speaking of country music superstars, first bit of news in the broadcast today.
I went down the rabbit hole on this one.
Oh, yeah?
Go ahead.
Well, breaking news. Toby Keith, country music's brash, patriotic songwriter, has died at the age of 62. Now, you might remember Toby Keith as, I believe he was the, we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American Way
yep,
guy.
That's the one.
Yeah, and so, you know, very sad, but...
oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you didn't know it was that guy? Yeah, no, he canceled the Dixie Chicks, remember that?
Oh, was he the one who canceled the Dixie Chicks?
You don't remember?
No, I'm saying yeah. I didn't know he died.
Yeah, he died. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't,
Matt, you, you don't remember that
I don't remember the origin of how the Dixie Chicks got canceled, other than like it was, they said something like vaguely anti-war.
And yeah, like against Bush or something.
Yeah, or against Bush.
Okay, I have the article. I don't know how you don't remember this, because this is like one of the people that I will like hate for my entire life, because, I mean, now he's dead, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But because of this, like this is... When people talk about how bad things are now, like, mm-hmm. I agree, but also, like, the aughts were really bad, really bad. And, yeah. and alien. And I feel like Toby Keith just sort of was one of the poster children for why it was such like an alienating, shitty time to be alive. On March 10th, 2003, on the eve of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, the Dixie Chicks played a concert at London's Shepherd's Bush Empire. Possibly thinking she was far enough away from her Texan home to get away with it, Maines introduced the song Travelin' Soldier by saying, "Just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We do not want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the president of the United States is from Texas."
Hell yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. The band were blacklisted from numerous country radio stations, with one Colorado station suspending two DJs for playing the Dixie Chicks. Protesters in Louisiana drove tractors over Dixie Chicks CDs, but it was Keith who undertook the highest profile anti-Maine stunt. During a tour to support his 2003 album, Shockin' Y'all, lead single, I Love This Bar, Keith displayed...
I fucking hate it.
I've been to a Keith, Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill in Las Vegas, by the
Kill
way.
Kill me.
Yeah. Keith displayed a Photoshopped backdrop behind the stage depicting Maines with then-Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein.
Wow.
Cool guy. I mean, and that song absolutely sucks ass, by the way. Like,
yeah. So my favorite story from this is something I had recently come to know. I had not heard this before, but this is I feel like this is a it seems like a Page Six type thing. Like, doesn't specifically say. Well, I'll read it. Okay.
Are you talking about the Kris Kristofferson thing?
Yes, I am.
It's from an article written by Ethan Hawke in Rolling Stone. Like, Ethan Hawke wrote a profile of Kris Kristofferson from Rolling Stone.
That completely explains why the person writing this is at this party. Because I was like, who the fuck was just there? Like, some right. guy named Greg? Okay. all right. So, standing backstage at the Beacon Theater in New York, leaning against a crumbling brick wall in the dark, I could barely see Kris Kristofferson standing to my left. Willie Nelson was in the shadows to my right. Ray Charles was standing beside Willie, idly shifting his weight back and forth. A bit farther along the wall were Elvis Costello, Wyclef Jean, Norah Jones, Shelby Lynn, Paul Simon, and respective managers, friends, and families. Everyone was nervous and tight. We were there for Willie Nelson's 70th birthday concert in 2003. Up from the basement came one of country music's brightest stars, who shall remain nameless. At that moment in time, the star, capital S, had a monster radio hit about bombing America's enemies back into the Stone Age. "Happy birthday," the star said to Willie. Breathing.
Wonder who that could be. That's one of like three or four guys, right?
Yeah. It could be anyone. "Happy birthday," the star said to Willie, breezing by us. As he passed Kristofferson in one long, confident stride, out of the corner of his mouth came, "None of that lefty shit out there tonight, Chris." "What the fuck did you just say to me?" Chris growled, stepping forward. "Oh no," groaned Willie under his breath. "Don't get Chris all riled up." "You heard me," the star said, walking away in the darkness. "Don't turn your back on me, boy," Kristofferson shouted, not giving a shit that basically the entire music industry seemed to be flanking him. The star turned around. "I don't want any problems, Chris. I just want you to tone it down." "You ever worn your country's uniform?" Chris asked rhetorically. "What? Don't what me, boy? You heard the question. You just don't like the answer." He paused long enough to get a full chest of air. "I asked, have you ever served your country? The answer is no, you have not. Have you ever killed another man, huh? Have you ever taken another man's life and then cashed the check your country gave you for doing it? No, you have not. So shut the fuck up." I could feel his body pulsing with anger next to me. "You don't know what the hell you're talking about." "Whatever," the young star muttered. Ray Charles stood motionless. Willie Nelson looked at me and shrugged mischievously like a kid in the back of the classroom. Kristofferson took a deep inhale and leaned against the wall, still vibrating with adrenaline. He looked over at Willie as if to say, "Don't say a word." Then his eyes found me. "You know what Waylon Jennings said about guys like him?" he whispered. I shook my head. "They're doing to country music what pantyhose did to finger fucking." So that is the greatest Toby Keith story of all time. Chris Christopherson just fucking just yelling at him in the middle of a huge fucking event.
People reposted this a bunch of times today for obvious reasons, and then like a few people tried to fact check it, but because like I guess after it came out, like Chris Christopherson initially said that he didn't remember it, but then like the follow up to that was that his wife was there and remembered the whole thing, and he was like, "Yeah, I just said I didn't remember it. I don't remember what I had for breakfast today. That happened six years ago.
I don't remember a lot of life."
Yeah.
I was in movies
Wait,
and shit.
Who wrote this?
Ethan Hawke wrote the story, and it was Chris Christopherson that was chewing him out at Willie Nelson's birthday party.
Yeah.
Who said the pantyhose line?
That was what Waylon Jennings said about people like him. That was Chris Christopherson quoting Waylon Jennings, I think talking about, people who are ruining country music in general. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Pantyhose ruining finger fucking, like that as a quote, is one of those things where I'm like, you have to
that's
be
poetry.
Hell. It's poetry, but you got to be really old to remember the invention of pantyhose. You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I just
Before pantyhose came out. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Before pantyhose, there was
you
a finger
fuck
in every
anyone you want. Yeah.
They had them big hoop skirts and the stockings barely went up to the knees.
Yeah. You couldn't walk down a hallway in a high school without finger fucking at least three women. Yeah, it was it's pretty great, and I feel like there's I don't know what the state of country music is now. I think the pop country music is like worse than it's ever been from what I can tell, but it does also seem to be this kind of like crossover revival of like more country-ish music that is not about selling you the lifestyle brand of being a country guy, where
yeah,
it's you know
a backlash. The backlash family. I feel like country music sort of it adopted like SEO sludge before the broader
before everyone
world
else
did.
Because
like in 2016 and 17, people were talking about like, hey, isn't it weird that every country song is about like driving down a country road and sitting on a pickup truck hitch, and there's a girl with a tank top, and she's gonna give you a beer. Like they were doing search engine optimization to their fucking songs before it killed other industries.
Yeah, it is definitely like. They were on the cutting edge of just doing word cloud lyrics, you know?
And I don't know, like supposedly they made up later in life and whatnot. But
who
like,
did?
I will
Toby
always,
Keith and Chris Christopherson?
Toby Keith and the Dixie Chicks. But I will always remember him as being the fucking cowardly 9/11 profiteer. Like that it's sort of. He sort of cemented in my mind as that forever, yeah. Just because that it was like I remember that stupid song and like Carlos Mencia like talking about how he like wants Bush to bomb everyone. Like just there's just a few people that stand out as just like being cowards and
being like performatively bloodthirsty because they were so insulated from any like real fucking. You know, consequences of that bloodthirstiness. It was just like, ooh, I can brand this.
And yeah, combining pandering with like shitting on someone else for saying like an obviously true statement.
Right.
Yeah. And like everybody did that at the time. Like I was pulling articles from that period because I was trying to remember that time. And this was the Country Music Awards show. The big buzz after Tuesday's Academy of Country Music Awards show. Did you hear what host Reba McEntire said about the Dixie Chicks? In case you missed it, Reba said toward the end of the show, "I don't know why I was so nervous about hosting the show this year. If the Dixie Chicks can sing with their foot in their mouths, surely I can host this sucker."
Oh. Oh, not Reba.
No.
No.
Yeah.
People love Reba, man.
I do. I love Reba.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where, like, I wanna shit on Reba for something like that, but I'm just like, I don't want that smoke. I feel like Reba.
She's like the original Taylor Swift.
Yes, exactly. I don't want like the whatever the Swiftie version of like a Reba head is.
Reeboks.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't want them coming after me, doxing my family.
They don't know how to do that. They don't really know.
Yeah,
old.
That's right. Yeah,
they're just gonna be sending like a lot of emails that start with forward, 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 forward.
You'll know they're coming because you'll hear this like the distant buzzing of 1,000 Rascal Scooters coming to,
just like dangling wrist bangles. You know that they make they sort of jangle together.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Allison, what's the Allison update? What have you been up to?
Oh boy. You know, I don't know.
Stuff.
Comedy, still doing that. Still chasing that fucking dream.
Chase it.
Yeah. You know, I got a strip show.
Yes.
Do my strip show. It's actually, if anyone's in LA, it's next week on Valentine's Day, just saying.
Oh yes. Yeah, where at?
The Moroccan Lounge.
The Moroccan Lounge. We can we'll put a ticket link in the show notes and
ooh,
stuff. Please,
yes.
People come out. That is Valentine's Day at the Moroccan Lounge.
Yeah, thick strip. Body it's body posy.
Body posy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of been it.
Nice. I feel like I need to be more body positive.
Yeah,
I was gonna say something.
We've been meaning to have an intervention with you about that.
No, because like sometimes, listen, I was at this child's birthday party over the weekend, and I saw one of my, you know, Jack O'Brien from the mm-hmm. Daily Zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw him in person. It was the first time I've seen him in person in a long time. We usually just see each other over Zoom. And I was just like looking at him, and I was like, I have no idea how old this guy is, but he looks great. You know, he just looks great. And there were some pictures of that day, and I was like looking at him. I was just looking at my face, and I was just like, what happened to my face, man? Just my face is just so, it's just like, you know, I got like this neck meat at the bottom. I got the little gobble, and then I'm like developing jowls, and it's like I just
slowly transitioning into droopy dog.
I am, and I like look at pictures of my dad, and I go, oh no, this is around that time. This is when it happens, and I don't want this for me, but also I'm not doing anything to stop it. But and so part of me is like, should I just accept it? But then the other part of me is like, but I just don't want the gobble no more.
Well, you can get the buccal fat?
That's what I was thinking. Mm. I can get buccal, they could buccal fat surgery it out of me, get rid of my buccals, and then I'll be pretty again.
Yeah. By the way, sorry, this is a digression, but is that what happened to Miley Cyrus? Like I don't know if she got buccal fat removal or if she got like large veneers, but every picture of her now looks like she's trying to like wrap her lips around like Party City Dracula teeth. That it's very very strange.
If you get too much buccal fat removed, you just all of a sudden your teeth just like pop out of your mouth, and
yeah,
you know, you can't fully close your mouth no more.
You're like,
oh no. You took out too much.
Do I look fierce?
Yeah. Am I hard?
I mean that is truly a thing of like, and so many people now, like you'll see on TikTok people doing like before and after photos of like before the buccal fat removal and then after. Mm. And it looks awful.
It looks awful.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't look good.
I keep wondering, like, is there, like, are we approaching a limit to, like, weird shit that people do to their faces? Because now it's, like, girls that are, like, in their early 20s are doing that lip injection shit. And it makes everyone's lips look the same and where they stick out in profile. And it's, like, not only.
This is another online discourse happening. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I just said those words.
I love online discourse.
Go on.
Nom, 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 nom.
Eat it up. of the fact that, like, Gen Z now, is looking worse than millennials.
Yeah, that's right.
They're aging like more rapidly. Yes. Yeah, that's
what they say.
Which I believe it.
The more you get work done on your face, the more you look like the generation that thinks they need to get work done on their face. Like, that's just how it kind of goes. It never looks good. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who looks good because of facial plastic surgery.
Well, but, no. So, like, obviously, that's true of a lot of, like really big actors and actresses. Like, you look at, like, Sandra Bullock. And you're just like you wouldn't even think, oh, she must have had work done. You're just like, oh, that's Sandra Bullock. That's what she looks like. She looks like she's always looked. And that's like the perfect plastic surgery. It's the type of plastic surgery is just maintaining your already existing face. Mm-hmm. And I feel
Brad Pitt, like, too. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, another perfect example. Just maintaining what you already looked like. Maybe, you know, you look a little bit older, but just slowing the aging process through, like, nips and tucks or whatnot.
Yeah.
But then I feel like a lot of...
Then you got your Burt Reynolds or your right. Nicole Kidman, and it's like, now I have to do a whole other level of disbelief suspension just to, like, believe you as anything other than, like, a very rich person who's had a ton of plastic surgery done.
Yeah, and I think, like, that's the thing, is it's, like, there's certain examples of, like, plastic surgery. It's usually with, like, you know, younger people and stuff where they're not trying to maintain what they already look like. It's that they don't like what they look like, so they change something and make their lips fuller, or they make, you know, get rid of the buccal fat and stuff. And that's kind of, like... Yeah. That is going to stick out. Whether or not it looks better is like a personal choice thing, right? But it's like you're going to now have a before and after. Whereas like you look at a before and after of Sandra Bullock, you're just going to be like, this is her looking a little bit younger and this is her looking pretty much the same. So I don't know. I feel like you already have to be in a place where you love the way you look the way you look is your brand, you know?
But it's also like if you just have so much money that it doesn't matter, it just becomes like I can do this as often as I want all the time.
Yeah.
And it can become an obsession. You're like, well, now I need to, you know, it just keeps piling on and nobody tells you to stop.
I know. Then you become that cat guy, or maybe it was a cat lady. There's like,
there's
people who just like, they just do a lot of plastic surgery and they look like a cat.
Yeah. And they're famous for having a lot of plastic surgery. I feel like the way to go is to start out kind of ugly and then just like leaning into it. And eventually like you become sort of hot because people accept like how unique your face, like a Paul Giamatti, you know?
Yeah. It's better in the long run.
It is so much better.
Absolutely. National sex symbol, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think anybody's like banging down Paul Giamatti's door
he's hot.
But like at this point, like we have all acknowledged like what a good actor he is, and sort of
he's got claymation teeth.
Do you remember him briefly being in that movie oh my god, the fucking James Cameron the
Avatar
singles?
Oh, was Seattle movie? That's Cameron Crowe, but
Cameron Crowe. Okay, yeah. Cameron,
you got your
Crowe.
Camerons mixed up.
I got my Camerons. Yeah. He's like briefly in that movie where he like makes out with a girl a bar.
Yeah,
and he's wearing like a leather jacket. And he's like young Paul Giamatti. He's so hot.
I need to see this. I've never seen singles.
I just rewatched all of John Adams, so I have like Paul Giamatti on the brain.
You know, weirdly, I rewatch John Adams like once every 2 years. I don't really know why.
It's funny because it's like it feels boring like towards the like early and towards the middle. It starts to feel kind of boring because all the episodes are like a full-length movie length. They're all an hour 30 long.
Hour and a half.
It's like seven full-length movies, basically. But then by the end, it's just like, it makes me cry by the end. Like, the ending's so good. Like, just the fact that him and Jefferson both died on July 4th and his last words were like, hey, Jefferson's still okay, right? And they were kind of frenemies. Aw.
Well, the best part about that is that he said, you know, something like Thomas Jefferson lives. But once again, he was wrong because Jefferson had just died a few minutes earlier. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm looking at Paul Giamatti singles.
I was trying to look it up too.
I found him.
Does he look good? Look, can we watch it?
All right. Well, I can send you guys a screenshot of it. This isn't a video. This is just a still. Mm. And listen, to each their own.
Paul Giamatti's ideal form is the still. I think he looks. Oh yeah.
He's hot.
He's got like an Amadeus kind of thing going on.
I like that you guys are looking at that and going, he's hot. That makes me feel like good, you know.
Yeah, he's like, got a high forehead, you know.
He's got my eyes, where he's got just like, you know, the kind of like buggy and squee.
Squee. I am a sucker for just any like, you know, Jewy or Italian looking.
Yeah.
Someone who's guinea pig esque, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that someone, you know, who came from nothing as the son of a baseball commissioner was able to come out
of
it.
What?
Yeah, his dad was the commissioner of professional baseball.
Get the fuck out of here, Paul Giamatti?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a Nepo baby.
Yeah, his dad was like the president of an Ivy League school at one point, I believe.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He went to that school from the holdovers?
Yeah, before they got the woke mind virus and started hiring all these black plagiarists.
They had the blacks,
Bart Giamatti.
The Jews, they got the Asians, Chinese, DEI, more like DEAD. That's what happened to this country.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be Toby Keith's next single, but he died before he could. So another interesting wrinkle to the Toby Keith thing is like he owned a piece of Taylor Swift's catalog. Like he,
I thought you were going to say hair.
He was like part.
I got a little bit of her hair.
This is what all women's hair should look like.
Yeah. I have three strands. I wrap it around my cock.
No, he was a part owner of her first record label that signed her when she was like
15.
So he made a ridiculous amount of money off of that.
That makes me sad. I hate that. But then now she's like reclaiming her masters by re-recording everything, right? Isn't that her thing?
Yeah,
Taylor's version?
Yeah. Taylor's version.
Here's the thing about Taylor
Swift. Yes, queen, keep being like a multimillionaire. Yes, let's get you to be a billionaire.
Make more money.
Yeah.
That's you deserve feminism. That. Yes. How can I give you all my money?
Yeah.
Someone tweeted earlier this week that she looks like the wife of a high-ranking SS officer. And I was like, yeah, she kind of
She does. I mean, listen.
I always said horse girl, but that is also true.
There's many types of horse girls though. Like some of them are privileged horse girls and some of them are like, you know, they're privileged, but it's like, are you fucking that horse? You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I grew up around like the I grew up yes. around the very weird horse girls.
Yes,
where they were like,
you grew up near weird horse girls.
One of them, two girls in my fifth grade class dyed spots in their hair because they wanted to look like Appaloosas.
I thought you were gonna say dyed falling off horses or getting fucked to death.
No, we did not have any death of Dick Long situations at my high school, but we did have this one girl where she was another weird horse girl in sophomore year in world cultures. One of my friends like nudged me and pointed to her notebook and said she's drawing pictures of horses fucking, and she was doodling two horses fucking on her notebook, and then she bit a girl during a water polo game one time.
Oh yeah.
She sounds cool.
She sounds pretty cool. I kind of like this person.
Yeah,
feel like this person's a born podcaster. but yeah, like the alt-right was trying to claim Taylor Swift early on. They were making a lot of
she looks like a trad wife to me.
She does, and she also looks like, you know, hot SS fetish guy's dream woman, you know.
Sure.
And so then she was like, you know, I'm gonna come out as a person who's like a Democrat, and now the right wing is scared of her because they think that she alone will be able to get Biden to win the presidency, which I'm like, I just, she's popular.
Yeah, I don't think,
but I think people are forgetting.
Yeah, I don't think music fandom works that way.
Yeah, people are forgetting that, like fandom doesn't. I mean, you can get people to register to vote for sure, and that's a good thing that she did. She did a huge, voter registration drive in 2020. But it's also like, you know, just in general, like, I don't know, people think that Taylor Swift could single-handedly like end the war in Gaza. Like people are a little bit, they forget that we've been trying to get celebrities to get us to vote since I was a kid.
Yeah. Also, she's not like Sinead O'Connor. Like she's not known for taking like bold stances.
Right.
No. I mean, you know.
And they're like, oh my God, the pop star is dating the football man. This must be an op. And you're
right.
Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that this is just how things have gone.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. I've never seen a more obvious couple in my life. People are just like, oh, look at that. How are they together? And I was like, she looks like a cheerleader and he's a little football guy. This is normal.
I feel like they'd be more into it if she was dating Jason Kelce.
Right. Yeah. He's the fatter brother. The one who's like,
yeah,
he doesn't play football, but he likes to like.
No, he plays football.
Oh,
he
does?
He also plays football.
I thought he was a podcaster. I thought he just had a brother who was a podcaster.
No,
who,
but
like,
he's he is an offensive lineman, so he's more white coated because he's been hanging out with like the white guys on the football team for his whole career. Whereas like Travis is, I mean, he's still an offensive lineman, but he's a tight end, so he's like he's more of a skill player. So he's a little more like urban. He's got a little more urban flavor than Jason does.
See, I don't know enough about football to know that there was there's like a cultural apartheid happening based on
a little bit.
I didn't know there was segregation.
I didn't know. Yeah.
I mean,
based on positions or whether it's offense or defense or what?
The skill players are usually a little different than the linemen. There's a little bit of a cultural split there.
And a tight end is which one?
A tight end is more of a, I mean, it's still part of the line, but they also catch passes and things, so they're like kind of a skill player. They're like the transitional position from
is a tight end do the hike
player.
Is that them?
No, that's the center. That's Jason Kelce's job. He does the hike and he does the tush push, whereas Travis
push.
He's on the end of the line where he catches passes.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, suddenly I created a football fan of
yummy.
Do they ever put their face in the tush?
Yeah, do they ever just eat the butt?
How many points is that?
Yeah, is it 3 or 7? It's you know, I didn't know that about his brother. I knew he had a brother. I thought, but I'd only seen him as a guy who takes his shirt off at games and stuff. Or maybe he doesn't take his shirt off. Maybe I'm just
inventing a
Bert Kreischer type guy.
No, he did a Bert Kreischer thing at the AFC Championship.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Does he play on a different team?
Yeah, he plays on the Eagles, and he just retired.
Oh.
Football families are kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know? Like they got the Mannings, and then the there's others.
The Kelces.
Kelces, isn't there another one?
I mean, like everybody in professional
Serena
sports.
Serena Venus Williams.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, have you seen the trailer for that Luca Guadagnino movie about like hot tennis players?
No.
It's very clear that there's a character who's supposed to be like a Serena Williams type, but she's played by Zendaya, which is hilarious. Because like of all athletes, like you look at Serena Williams and you're like, this person could kick my ass. Like this person is just like a personification of strength and power.
Yes.
Like she looks like she could fuck you up. And then they're like, who do we get to play this person? I know Zendaya, who's like 97 pounds.
A literal feather.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's perfect because she's not too black. Like, that's whenever, like, with Zendaya, it's like, listen, she's gorgeous, you know, beautiful, and she's actually a good actress, too. But, like, to play Venus and or Serena Williams, just like,
yeah. I mean, she's not officially playing Serena Williams, like, in a biopic or anything, but it's very much like it feels like, you know, she's like the young black tennis prodigy in this movie. And it's like, okay, well, we know who this is.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
It does feel like still feels colorist, in my opinion. And I think my opinions
on
colorism.
You're probably not wrong.
I'm probably not wrong.
But we were talking about you know, body modification earlier, and I got a good story for that. Ooh. Because
hey Vince,
hey Matt,
as you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one: when Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s, and he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it, he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but yes. It's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself, mymorningkick.com/podyourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Peter Thiel is looking.
Oh no!
Has bankrolled the steroid Olympics?
Yeah, I've heard about this. I wanted
Wait,
to guess.
What?
Please tell me this story. This is the greatest.
This is from Vice. The Peter Thiel-backed sports organization that is building the Olympics of the future for athletes using steroids and other enhancers is employing the language of inclusivity, oppression, and libertarianism in its push for acceptance in the broader athletic world.
It's called the Bionic Olympics. Hey guys, it's me, Peter Thiel. So, you know how when you watch the Olympics, you're like, oh, but we could build stronger men.
I do say that.
So I've decided to build my own Olympics called the Stronger Man Olympics. we're building a sort of master race.
Oh, are you sure that's the word that you want to use?
That is the word I will use.
Well, it's a race. That's the sport.
Yeah, that's right. The that's master race is going to be a race of super ubermensch who are going to run real fast. And they're going to have needles in their arms.
Oh,
and
geez.
Whoever dies last wins.
Oh, man. So it's less of a race and more like a...
It's a race against time.
Okay, I see.
Yes. And whoever goes the fastest is beaten time and will live forever in a cryogenic sleep state that I'm going to create out of a gold medal. Congratulations. You'll live to see Armageddon. Well, I gotta go.
Oh, okay, all right.
Slaves! Slaves! Walks. He gets pushed away on one of those Roman things where the slaves carried him, you know?
Mm-hmm. A litter, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
After all, if it's your body, it should be your choice, the organization states on its website.
Cool, cool, cool.
The so-called enhanced
games. That's what that phrase is about. Like, it's just like anti-vax shit where they're like, our body, our choice. And it's like, oh, God, you fucking losers.
Yeah. The so-called Enhanced Games has been at the center of a firestorm of media coverage in recent days after announcing that it had closed a multi-million dollar seed round that included funding by Thiel, venture capitalist Balaji Srinivasan, who is also currently engaged in a project to build new libertarian network states that run on Bitcoin.
Oh my God.
Cool.
Let them though. Do the Bitcoin thing. Let them fucking bankrupt themselves. I'm okay with that.
The for-profit organization, which is the brainchild of its president, Aaron D'Souza, best known for his role in the Thiel-backed lawsuit that brought down Gawker Media, bills itself as a modern reinvention of the Olympic Games that embraces performance enhancers and scientific progress. In the era of accelerating technological and scientific change, the world needs a sporting event that embraces the future, the organization states on its site.
Regular humans throwing javelins is the past. In the future, everyone will have javelins for arms. And they will throw themselves or it's be catapulted in a trebuchet.
It's time to see what humanity is truly capable of, the organization states.
Enhanced, you fucking psychos.
Enhanced argues that since many elite athletes already use performance-enhancing drugs in Olympic competition, legalizing the practice would allow it to create a more level playing field and a safer event.
You know, okay, wow. So it's like half of me, like the dumbest half of me is like, honestly, I get it. Like, what are we doing here? You know, we're not, you know.
No, I'm absolutely down with the steroid Olympics.
I'm down with it in concept. But all I can think about is what it's actually going to be. It's number one, it's going to only take place in international waters.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to like build out of like one of those like floating trash islands. Like, they're going to have to build a fucking, you know, Coliseum in the middle of the ocean, and there's going to be no laws, and there's going to be no recourse when inevitably a bunch of people die because they're trying to fucking like juice the most juice they've ever juiced, and they're all going to have their fucking hearts popping out of their chest. And then Peter Thiel was going to be like, they knew what they were in for when they signed in blood on the dotted line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
By comparison, Enhanced said it plans to implement a sophisticated safety protocol that includes testing before and after competition, which
to make sure that you took steroids,
which will additionally check for pre-existing conditions in part through genomic sequencing.
Oh, good, 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 good.
So bullshit. Things that actually don't work.
Yeah.
And I just...
startup that they're trying to incorporate.
Yeah.
If you will not compete, I will grow you.
You know?
I mean, the best part is the way that they're defending this is to, like, employ, like, the language of soy-ness. Like, everybody does that now as, like, a smokescreen.
Yes.
Throughout the website, Enhanced employs the political language of inclusion in an attempt to reframe steroid users as an oppressed class.
So true, though.
Saying it takes inspiration from, quote, the brave fight of the LGBTQIA+ movement and going so far as to call itself the most inclusive sports league in history as it welcomes people.
Wow.
This is just like Stonewall. just injecting fucking HGH into your asshole and just going, I'm just like Harvey Milk.
Harvey Juice.
As it welcomes people, regardless if they are, quote, natural, adaptive, or enhanced, an amateur or a former Olympian. The site itself has a tab that offers tips on, quote, how to come out as enhanced.
How to come out as enhanced. I fucking hate this dystopian fucking bullshit.
That being said, I cannot wait for like the athletes' Instagram posts where they come out as enhanced. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Just tearing a phone book in half and being like, I have something to tell you guys.
In a fun Mom, way, though, as Dad. Much as this is awful, mm-hmm. it does sound like the beginning of like a Street Fighter movie.
Yes, 100%.
Like Mortal Kombat-esque.
Yes.
Yeah. The stakes are
that
higher.
That can be fun.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. The stakes are higher to sports if someone's heart might explode while they're doing
yeah,
it.
I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to lie and pretend like I don't want to see fucking gladiators fight a lion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, the joy is watching the possibility that they're going to get ripped to shreds. And then the grandeur comes from what if they rip the lion to shreds? A lot of fun.
Hated the 10 years where people pretended like baseball sucked because they're like, I hate watching Barry Bonds hit a million home runs because he's too buff. It's like, oh, really? You fucking hate that? And it's like, it's just ahistorical. Like they're acting as if baseball players didn't do drugs for the previous 100 years. Like throughout the 60s, they were all taking speed. Like they were taking fucking greenies. They were all gacked out of their fucking gourds on amphetamines playing baseball, but now like steroids is some different thing. I think enhanced athletes today are very much like being gay 50 years ago, said D'Souza.
Oh
my god,
who told Motherboard he is openly gay? It's conducted in secret. It's something you have to hide. You're always fearing the police and the authorities, but it's underground and it's kind of fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, it is for sure, you are oppressed because you are fucking going into the bathroom at the LA Fitness. And
because you want to be so swole.
Because you want to be so swole that you're willing to risk an early death and back acne in order to fucking have good Insta pictures. Like, in general, I love the appropriation of like activist language.
Yes.
For just whatever weird personal fucking interest you have in whatever it is. Like, you could be like the world's foremost stamp collector and be like, I don't know, man. Sometimes I kind of feel like Nelson Mandela.
Oh, it gets better. The organization at various points says it is, quote, protecting our athletes' rights to bodily autonomy, and that the term doping is a colonialist slur that reeks of symbolic and historic violence against both the black and enhanced populations.
Oh, no.
Enhanced population? God, these guys live in a fucking bubble. Who the fuck talks like this? Who the fuck talks like this where you just go, you just slip in enhanced population? That is fucking insane.
The organization additionally offers alternatives to what it views as anti-steroid language, saying people should avoid using terms like performance-enhancing drugs, use performance enhancements instead, cheating, demonstration of science, unnatural, enhanced, and doping. As with other slurs, there is no acceptable alternative. Doing so, the organization said, would allow people to, quote, avoid marginalizing members of the enhanced community.
What the fuck is this shit? What are they fearing through their marginalization? Can you imagine just like...
I don't know. Part of me is like, is this satire? Like, are
I know.
Just,
it sounds like satire.
Hey,
it's like an ultimate...
I'm just picturing
whatever
now.
Language we have to use to get like giant to watch giant jacked men just throw javelins over the moon. Like, I'm into it.
I'm just thinking about like pictures from the Swolacost. They're just in a concentration camp and a bunch of really jacked dudes.
It's like the opposite where you can only, they just feed you a bunch of carbs and then make you fat.
Yeah, they make you fat. Yeah, exactly. They're like, no, I haven't
start,
had my
stop
steroids.
Working. Our bike, not Mike free.
My skin
no
cleared
protein.
Up. My God.
Here's more from the website. Don't assume that everyone is natural. That is, they don't use science to enhance themselves, or that this is the norm. The organization states in its inclusive language section, this profiling devalues the identities and lives of people who identify as enhanced.
Who? Name name more than 12 guys that you know personally who identify as enhanced. Like, this is just a made up thing. It's just, oh my God. And all you're going to get really for spokespeople is like Lance Armstrong, Barry Bonds. You know, you're going to get people who got caught doping and just going to be like, finally, I'm free. You know,
I mean, if they turn Barry Bonds into a hero, I'm not against it.
Listen, I'm not against the idea of like kind of rehabilitating like the steroid years as kind of like, you know, part of a larger picture in which it's like we kind of scapegoated a bunch of steroid using baseball players because we want to pretend that now people aren't doping when they're all doping. Everyone knows that doping happens in sports, and it is, you know, we try to crack down on it because it's unfair and because it's unhealthy. But at the same time, you know, it's there's only so much you can do. The idea of like openly like making that part of someone's identity as if like without the doping,
it's an identity and it's a celebrated personal choice.
It is just another white people want to be oppressed so bad type scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They do reference the concentration camps, by the way.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, come on.
Lovely. Tell me about it.
In contrast to the more familiar story of baseball players with grotesquely swollen skulls and mustached communists in the 1970s, bursting with all the muscles of a comic book villain, Enhanced rewrites the history of performance-enhancing drugs on its website as a positive one, depicting communities going back centuries that used a large variety of substances not as villains, but as heroes trying to reach their full potential. The organization notes with admiration, for example, that ancient Greeks and Roman gladiators used performance enhancers, stimulants, and hallucinogens, and that anabolic steroids restored, quote, the health of the survivors of Nazi concentration camps.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
No. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, like, I would say, like, have you no shame, but, like, No, obviously not.
Yeah.
It's been taken out. It's like part of the performance enhancing is like they cut that part out of your brain and make you a sociopath. Ugh.
Is always challenging institutions, D'Souza said of his investor. He knows that when you have a calcified bureaucratic incumbent controlling a large market, that's a real big opportunity for disruption.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He added
the disruption, the calcification he's talking about is, you know, in the heart valves.
Yeah. He added that Thiel, who has denied injecting himself with the blood of young people, was interested in anti-aging science.
No. Before you ask, no.
Uh-uh.
I have not now, nor have I ever had a blood boy. He was a friend of mine, a man full grown. And he sometimes gave me some blood, but it was just for decorative purposes, mostly for religious ceremonies.
I can't wait to watch this. Like, I mean, I don't want to put money in Peter Thiel's pocket, but
I mean, it reminds
me. I am
me,
going to be tuned in for the Enhanced Olympics.
It's like a more dangerous slam ball is what it feels like to me. You know, like that it was like the basketball, but it was all dunking because they used, what were they like? What are those things? Trampolines. Yeah. And you could only watch it on like the Man Channel or whatever it was, like Spike TV.
And it was, oh shit. That's a throwback.
Yeah.
The Enhanced Olympics is going to give us so many mansers that we once saw.
We're going to, we have lots of questions and we're finally going to get the mansers we've been asking for.
Yeah.
For
wait, are there women in this?
No.
Wow. It's called Enhanced.
Yeah. No, everyone knows that a man is just an enhanced woman. Oh my God.
Women have reached their full potential finally by becoming men.
Yeah, we'll get back to you when it's the titty Olympics.
Yeah, we're thinking of doing a separate Olympics that's just for women. It's called the Raise My Children Olympics. We can see who can sweep the broom the best, or you know,
she's crossing the finish line with four children on her back.
Who can make me dinner the fastest? No, just like asking Peter Thiel to even like consider women in this, and just watch him just go.
This is no anti-colonialist bitches. Language of you asking me to.
Oh my fucking God! I mean, like. It's funny because everyone he describes in the article, I'm just like, get them in one room together, U.S. Air Force drone strike, and like things will marginally improve for the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a,
but we still can we still have the steroid Olympics though? After
I, listen, I am not opposed to watching people put themselves at risk for my entertainment. Obviously, you know. I mean, listen, I watch people die on the internet all the time. but you know,
it's one of your favorite things.
It's one of my favorite things. It's how I relax. You know, but I just know how terrible the execution's going to be.
Right.
You know, like it's not actually going to be this good thing. It's you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, what hath man wrought upon us? You know, like,
right.
You're
like, instead
you're
of national anthems, they're going to be singing some sort of hymn to the market.
Yes, exactly. To the invisible hand. Yeah, it is. It is like it's going to be bleak and dystopian. And like I would watch some of it.
Yeah. It sounds. Yeah.
I'm not into all the of idea. It. Some of it, though. I mean, what is like? What are the events? It, if it's the same events, I'm gonna be annoyed. If it's just like running, you know, it has to be like running on fires, you know, like
yeah,
and like
it has to be a lot of like contact, like fighting. I think physical fighting is
yes, and people are also forgetting here that like the what you're actually going to get here, like you just let everyone do performance enhancing drugs and you hold the Olympics. What you get is like the differences will just be in the milliseconds for, you know, it'll be like, it'll be a numbers difference between these things. You know, it's like someone is going to lift, you know, 3000 kilograms as opposed to the world record of 2800 mm-hmm. And people are gonna be like, wow, he did 200 extra kilograms, and you're gonna be like, it looked the same. It looked same
absolutely.
To me, like people are gonna run the fucking, you know, 100 meter dash like 0.8 seconds faster, or even if it's like 3 seconds faster, you're gonna be like, okay, still look like I run fast. I don't know difference between miles per hour here. It's visually it's gonna look almost identical. It's just like now people are going to break records. These aren't robots fighting. It's not battle bots. We're not turning people into battle bots here. So you're really not really getting in anything
extra. So it's going to be disappointing.
It's going to be very disappointing. You're just going to it's just going to put more people, like athletes' lives at risk, which I'm like, this is just bad for everyone in every sense.
Did you ever see that documentary about like the Russian like Putin's plan for to create like a crop of better athletes for one of these Olympics? It was like they had this Russian doctor who was sort of like a PED, like steroids sort of guru.
Yeah.
And he had like this whole sophisticated plan for like how they could how the athletes could dope but still beat like the doping tests. And then like at the last minute, like Putin overruled him. Instead of going with that plan, they like broke into where they keep the blood samples and just swapped them all out.
That's a better plan though.
With clean blood. And he was like, this is a better plan. And then like the doctor who knew about it had to like go into hiding.
I love that. I love like when you just realize like at the end of the day, what you want is a brute force plan.
Yeah. You're like, this is way less complicated.
Yeah. You don't need to like rappel from the fucking ceiling to like rob the bank. You could just point a gun in someone's face. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Peter Thiel, I hope... he's like one of those people who's like, God, you should die. Like, you being dead is better for the world. It's just better. Because he's like he's a supervillain.
Yeah.
Like, he is an actual supervillain.
He has a blood boy. It's very funny.
He's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, like these tech guys are doing things that like movie supervillains have been doing. Like, you know, feeding on the blood of the young. And like that one weird guy who gets his son's blood and is like constantly like testing his nut volume to in the hopes of like reversing aging. And he just Yeah. He just looks like a weird guy with a shaved chest. Like, he doesn't even look much younger than
no,
he
doesn't
is.
Look young at all.
But it's also like you are feeding off of your child. You know this. There are like myths about why this is bad.
Right. Yeah. It is just like it's and it comes from this really dark place where you're just like, you know, if I have enough money, I deserve to live forever. It's yeah. not just right. Yeah. and that means that like including making my son's life shorter because my son didn't earn any of that. I'm the reason they're alive, so technically their blood is my blood.
Yeah, like
I mean that's
monster.
True though.
That is true in a way. I do say that to my daughter all the time.
Your blood is my blood.
Your blood is mine. Give me your toy. When she won't, like, sometimes she just grips onto a toy, and I'm like, no, you can't bring that toy with you to bed. It is sharp, you know, and then mm-hmm. I tell her blood is my blood.
Yeah. I like when you say no, and then they just, like, cry harder, and you're like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
and
no.
You think you've accomplished something as a parent?
No, they're really good. They're really good at emotional manipulation. Gaslighty-ass kids, dude.
I wrote about this on my newsletter today, but the other night we were at a brewery, and like the kids were playing, having a good time, and my son was playing with his toddler friend, and they were like running. They were like racing each other on the blacktop. And, you know, I knew he was going to stumble and fall at some point because that's what toddlers do. They're just like little miniature drunk people. Uh-huh. And he fell, you know, he fell forward and it didn't seem too bad. He came up. He's like, I got an ouchie. And he like showed me his hand and I was going to do the thing where I kiss it and make the ouchie go away because that still works.
Yeah.
And he showed me like his right hand and I was like, and it didn't have many scrapes on it. And I was like, oh man, that was not as bad as I thought. And then I grabbed his left hand and he had somehow like managed to try and catch himself in such a way that it popped his entire fingernail out
from
the bottom. Like it, it ripped it out from the nail bed side.
No!
And I was just like, let me see that hand. And I tried to be very calm as I like
yeah,
scooped
that's
him
what
up
you gotta
and
do.
Took him to clean it off and covered it up. But yeah, that was a wild one.
Jesus. Ugh. What do you do? And that, do you put the nail back in?
I mean, it wasn't all the way off. It was like hanging on by a couple of threads. Like it's still is.
Still on. You gotta still is. Say threads.
It still is hanging on by a couple of threads. So we just like cleaned it off and put a couple band-aids over it so he couldn't see it. Because you're not supposed to like, you know, take
rip
it all
it
the
off.
Way off. Yeah. Right. It's like a blister. You kind of just leave it and hope the dead skin covers the new skin
the
for
wound.
A while.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fucking
parenthood A. sounds awful.
Yeah, it's yeah. pretty much just that over and over again.
My wife cried when she saw it, and she's a nurse, so
she cried.
Yeah,
holy yeah, fuck,
that's how fucking bad it looked.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when your kid gets hurt, you do like freak the fuck out. But my whole yeah. thing is like life threatening or not. You know, it's kind of like. I can only have yeah. the emotional capacity
yeah,
for
life threatening or not. How much trouble am I going to get for this?
Right. Yeah. 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 Will the state take my child away? And if the answer is like not life threatening, state doesn't care, then I'm like, what's the big deal? You don't even need that arm.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Walk it off.
Walk it off, kid. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, fucking. Listen, I love my baby, but every time she almost falls or like, you know, like we'll take her in a walker and she'll just be like, I want to go in the street. Mm. Every time I'm just like.
They love the street. They thirst.
They love the street.
They thirst for large automobiles.
Yes, large cars, please. Yeah, and every time it happens.
My dog's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, dogs are a version of that, but. Yeah. When they die, it's funny. I'm just kidding.
What?
How dare you?
I think, do we have time for One more thing, and then I got to get out of here.
Oh, what? I don't have any other things.
Oh, you don't have any other thing?
No, not really.
I
was just riffing. We were just hanging out. Just having a good hang like we do.
I love having a good hang. I didn't mean to like destroy the good hang by saying I got to go soon, but you know, I got to go.
Yeah, I could go too.
All right.
I actually do have to work a job. So.
I have to work. Isn't that the worst?
I fucking hate jobs. Oh, fuck jobs.
Fuck jobs.
Allison, thank you so much for coming back on the Frogcast.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Hell yeah. Where can people find you?
At Just About Glad on the socials. And that's about it, yeah.
Check out Allison Stevenson on the socials. And also, say that date once again. It's the 14th of February. That's a Wednesday in Los Angeles. What is the name of the venue?
Moroccan Lounge.
So check out her show there. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yes.
And follow her on all of the social medias. Patreon.com/Frogcast. Frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All righty, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, good night and good chins.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.